Apparently, and this has all been officially agreed, we're going to start burning wood to charge massive EVs now. This, of course, is a matter of common experience, certainly lately. Every time it looks like the human race has achieved peak imbecile, we just trot off and invent a better idiot. I'm John Lurgan from AutoExpert.com.au. New cars cheap, but Australia only. Website, card. Okay, so Volvo CE, which stands for Construction Equipment. They've jumped into bed recently with Rolls-Royce. That would be the power engine type Rolls-Royce dudes and not the rich twat detector automotive brand, which is actually owned by BMW. And then they decided jointly that a three-way with a glorified incinerator manufacturer called Airburners in America might be rather nice to, you know, spice things up. Volvo has this giant 23-ton battery electric excavator, which just seems like such a good idea. Think you'd agree? Airburners has a giant wood-burning incinerator with delusions of grandeur, obviously, and a steam turbine jammed fair up its rectum. And Rolls-Royce said, apparently, here's a giant 13-ton battery in a shipping container, because clearly the world has too much lithium, nickel, manganese and cobalt, and this stuff just jumps magically out of the earth as you drive by. It would therefore be impolite to waste it. Together, this misguided trio have a solid shot at gold in the upcoming Stupid Ideas Olympics. This video is brought to you by Novated Lease Australia, and also, incidentally, to prove to you that I don't hate EVs. Not at all, not even a little bit. If you are an Australian employee, recent government incentives mean that an EV like a Tesla Model 3 could be yours for about the same out-of-pocket cost as a Toyota Corolla. One of these vehicles is, of course, something of a status symbol. The other is a Toyota Corolla. You have to use a novated lease to take advantage of the government incentives, right? If you do, there's no FBT that's payable on eligible EVs and plug-in hybrids, and you won't pay any GST on the acquisition either, up to a limit which is set every year by the government. Novated Lease Australia can also help you figure all of this out, okay? The easiest way to get in touch with them is to click the card on screen more or less now, or the link in the description. I'll even try to remember to pin one to the friggin' comments, dude. Novated leases allow you to put some of the income you would have otherwise paid in tax to work for you directly, to pay for the vehicle and reduce your taxable income. So you're not just doing it with tax, but some of the money that you would have otherwise paid in tax will help you afford that vehicle. That's why they also call it salary sacrifice, right? More information via the link in the description. Just fill in the form on that webpage on my website and you will get priority access to the team at Novated Lease Australia. Back to this wood-burning business, okay? Because it sounds like April the 1st already, does it not? Like, how did that happen? At the very least, it's kind of a setup for a really, really bad dad joke, isn't it? Like, dude, a hillbilly pyromaniac and two European masturbators walk into a forest with a box of matches and a dirty big battery. And the punchline here being that this press release has been regurgitated so faithfully by green virtue signalling press release recyclers, those specialist websites, with not a single hard question or critical comment to be seen. And this, of course, is why modern journalism sucks. Laziness and ignorance collide and become the profession's default settings. The promoters of this bullshit item of equipment call it a, quote, biocharger. And of course. It comes in the only colour you like, green. Just like Cement Australia's crematorium electric trucks, incidentally. A biocharger is about $1.7 million, American. It's a wood-burning incinerator capable of burning 6 to 8 or 20 tons of wood every hour, depending on which of their web pages you read. Incinerator, like, sounds a bit dirty, doesn't it? So they actually call it an air burner, which I suppose makes it substantially cleaner. The engineer in me does ask rhetorically, what the fuck else are you going to burn anything in, like, in practice? Apparently, there's also a brilliant innovation inside called an air curtain. Imagine that. So, they're burning wood in an incinerator, and when the fire is established, they just tweak the air-fuel ratio by blowing extra air on top where the superheated soot coming off the fire burns secondarily. Doing this is actually as old as the hills, right? They make it sound so clever, but as combustion processes go, it's kind of established. Most slow combustion wood stoves in people's lounge rooms have a secondary burn chamber, and this is just that. You can engineer one into a homemade fire pit or go and weld yourself up a rocket stove, and if you do it right, you will virtually eliminate smoke. Dead easy. So it works. It's just not that clever. Sounds great, but the heat produced in this way boils water, which is actually an ethylene glycol and water mix to expand the working fluid's temperature range, operating temperature range. And the fluid ultimately boils, and then it drives a turbine that drives a generator that makes electricity that goes into a giant 13-ton battery. So it's kind of like the way a coal-fired steam power plant works, right? This 13-ton battery, the energy goes in there. It's a stationary battery, and it waits patiently until Volvo's 23-ton excavator's giant battery shits itself, at which point there's probably hours of overnight downtime while electricity goes from shitbox biocharger battery to shitbox Volvo battery. Would it not be miraculous if we could just find an energy-dense liquid available at a fraction of the cost that did the same job cheaper and better and eliminated all this complexity? I suppose we could dream. In addition to the giant 13-ton battery, the incinerator weighs 16 tons and the steam turbine generator weighs another 16 fucking tons. So this is 45 tons of intensively manufactured and resource-intensive monstrosity, and it's there to replace a tank with some diesel fuel in it. Jesus. I would argue that environmental masturbation doesn't get much more enthusiastic than this, at least not typically in a forest. The biocharger's ability to reduce emissions and generate electricity through responsible handling of vegetative waste perfectly aligns with our targets to support our customers with innovative solutions for the transition to clean power generation. Kevin McKinney there. He's the sales dude at Rolls-Royce America. Now, how exactly is this 45-ton abomination an example of reduced emissions? Like, intrinsically, how is it? How is burning 8 to 20 tons of wood an hour an example of, quote, ability to reduce emissions? Unlike biomass power plants, the biocharger is a fully portable machine that can be relocated to a new site and be operational in approximately 6 hours. Okay, so this is 45 tons of abject portability. You'd probably have to check it. Like, you're not going to be carrying it on, are you? Even in business. So how exactly are we moving it from A to B, I wonder? That's right, dude. Exactly the same way we manufactured it. With a shit ton of hydrocarbon energy. Because... facts. The biocharger permanently eliminates up to 20 tons of vegetative waste per hour without emitting harmful greenhouse emissions like methane and black carbon, the second biggest contributor to climate change after carbon dioxide. The biocharger specs actually say 6 to 8 tons per hour, but hey, 20 is a nice round number. Let's go with that. Chemistry says, okay, whenever you burn a fuel like petrol or diesel or LPG, cellulose, also known as wood, coal, ethanol, whatever, the main combustion byproducts are going to be CO2 and water. You can't subvert that. That's just how combustion rolls. Every ton of wood you burn yields about 1.8 tons of CO2. So 20 tons of wood an hour equals 36 tons of CO2 per hour to keep a handful of excavators running. Now, a Cat D10 bulldozer is going to burn about 90 litres of diesel per hour in a heavy-duty work cycle. 1 litre of diesel emits about 2.7 kilos of CO2 when you burn it, times 90 equals, call it, 250 kilos of CO2 per hour. So, as far as I can tell, one biocharger casting 20 tons of wood into the pit of hell per hour is about the same in terms of CO2 as 144 Caterpillar D10s slogging their freaking asses off. And I certainly appreciate that the diesel comes from oil, whereas wood is biomass and therefore hypothetically renewable if you grow the forest back over, I don't know, the next 50 to 100 years. But if you just left the wood waste on the floor of the frickin' forest instead of burning it, that CO2 would, of course, be effectively sequestered for, I don't know, years or maybe even decades, as opposed to released immediately by bullshit biocharger brilliance. Why are we burning this stuff anyway? Bushfires in Australia are much more deadly to humans and animals and much more destructive today than only a few decades ago. This is the result of urban housing pushing more and more into the bushland and the lack of aggressive intervention by creating defensible zones at the bushland-urban interface for the protection of homes and businesses. Ah yes, quite right. Bushfire hazard mitigation. That's Airburners Australia there. There's no biocharger here, of course, at least not that I can see, but the company is very keen indeed to incinerate any native habitat you might prefer gone. And this just screams environmentally friendly to me. I would argue that they are properly full of shit on this claim that bushfires are more deadly today than previously, because insofar as I can tell, that's simply misleading or deceptive or an outright lie. And the ACCC, in my view, should perhaps depart from tradition by awakening and investigating this bullshit claim. According to two leading RMIT academics, Kate Haynes and Amelie Tibbetts from the University Centre for Risk and Community Safety, bushfire deaths of humans in Australia from 1900 to 2006 look kind of like that. Deadliest year was in the 1940s, and there are also spikes in the 20s, early 50s, late 60s, and late 80s. And there is, look at it, dude, there is no discernible trend. Certainly no uptick, is there? Like, according to Prevention Web, 65 people died in bushfires from 2010 to 2020. There was a spike of 35 in 2020, sadly. Each death is, of course, a huge personal tragedy, obviously. But 35 is hardly a record or even remarkably terrible in an historical context. Put it in perspective, falls involving stairs kill about 100 Australians every year. So in that sense, stairs are three times as objectively terrifying as bushfires were in fiscal 2020. And I'm not trivialising those deaths on stairs either, incidentally. I'm putting it out there for a sense of frickin' perspective. That spike there in about 1968 or 69, whatever it is, it looks to be about 60 people, okay? But at that time, you have to remember, the population of Australia was only about half what it is today. So in real terms, like deaths per capita, the bushfire death rate has plummeted. So Ayrburn, Australia, you appear to be full of shit on that one. It looks to me like nothing more than existence-justifying fear-mongering designed to whip up a few sales. And it's especially poor form in my estimation, as that claim is the first fucking full sentence on their website. On the CO2 emitted by their glorified green bullshit incinerator, right? They then explain, if that's the right term, because it achieves near perfect combustion efficiency, all the CO2 that is released is biogenic CO2, the CO2 that the trees took in through photosynthesis while alive, thereby releasing oxygen. Pro tip. If CO2 is in fact the enemy, the planet gives exactly zero fucks about the pedigree of that emitted CO2. No one cares what his parents were. CO2 from coal, oil, gas, wood, it's all going to function the same. Let us not develop some two-class system concerning CO2. Green CO2 and brown CO2. Gotta be kidding me. If you are not going to regrow the forest because, perhaps, you had to knock it all down to build yet another outlying slum of the future with no services or other redeeming town planning attributes, that CO2 is every bit as problematic as CO2 from petrol or diesel or coal or friggin' gas. Back to the bullshit biocharger now, the one in America, with the steam power plant jammed up its anus and Volvo and Rolls-Royce kindly playing its flute. The biocharger creates and holds 400 to 700 kilowatts per day, depending on options chosen. More than enough energy to recharge 3 or 6 machines. So 3 or 6, but not 2 or 4 or 5 or 7. Got it. Dear morons, this is not how energy works, okay? It's not how power works. It's not how electricity works. The battery doesn't store power. Kilowatts are power. That statement is kind of meaningless. The battery stores energy, which is measured in kilowatt hours. Kilowatt hours are not the same thing as kilowatts. Please try to keep up. If you are actually in this business, you would want to get that right, wouldn't you? It captures energy in wood waste and converts it to electricity to use in battery-operated machinery, saving the cost of diesel fuel. Okay, so now that they've opened this particular door, let's save cost and be super efficient. Being entirely generous, talking like an engineer, they might achieve, I don't know, let's call it 85% efficiency in their bullshit air frying incinerator. The maximum Carnot efficiency for Rankine cycle turbine engines, like steam turbines, is 63%. But steam turbine power plants are typically 40-ish percent efficient. And being small doesn't actually help here. So 85% times 40% is about 33%. So good job making something about as efficient as a modern diesel engine. And all up probably only, I don't know, 5 or 6 times the cost of an equivalent diesel plant and equipment package out in the boonies, all to save a massive $2 a litre. Why innovate in real practical ways which would make an actual difference environmentally today when you can mount a full frontal assault on Horseshit Mountain in this way? In closing, therefore, thank you sincerely to Volvo, Rolls-Royce and Airburners for highlighting the ultimate wank at the core of humanity's virtue-signalling slog towards the mythical pot of gold at Rainbow's arse, which is otherwise known as net zero.